Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know if you've heard this once or twice before, or maybe 50 or 100 times, but one of the things that's operative in this gospel passage is that we need to pray Acts every day. Kind of wanted to say it. I told Father Daniel I was going to say it, so I had to lead off with that. No, this is really, you probably saw me grinning like an idiot during the sequence, because this is really one of my favorite feasts of the entire year. Pentecost, celebrating the sending of the Holy Spirit. And just everything about the Mass, everything about the texts that go along with this celebration, they're so rich. There's so much in them, and I encourage you, with grinning like an idiot still, look at them. Look at them. Spend time with them. Spend time praying with them. We just had the sequence, Veni Sancti Spiritus, which you can look up in the Magnificat or on the USCCB website. Spend some time praying with that. It's a really beautiful prayer. It's something that it tells us a little bit about what the inner life of the Trinity dwelling within us is supposed to do. It's supposed to bend the stubborn heart and will, warm what is frozen, and bring everything into right order. This is what God's own life, God's Spirit dwelling within us, is supposed to do. And then later in the Mass during Communion, we're going to be singing Veni Creator Spiritus, which is one of my favorite hymns. And it's not just because it's my favorite hymn that it's important, but that it tells us more of what the life of the Holy Spirit within us is, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. And so all of these are great texts to be, they're great texts to help us shape our prayer, help shape our own relationship with the Holy Trinity, with the person of Jesus. These texts can help us understand what asking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is. And of course, we celebrate Pentecost, which, like I said at the beginning of Mass, it's the birthday of the church. It's when the church is commissioned by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But we're not just looking back at that as if it's something that just happened, 2,000 years ago and, whatever. No, we celebrate today, we commemorate this feast every year because we know that God, in his generosity, in his abundant generosity, is not going to be stingy with the gift of his own life breathing into us. But instead, he's going to continue to pour out his life into our hearts, that he's going to continue to pour out the Holy Spirit into our hearts, and especially as we honor the work that he did in creating the church, he's going to bless us with his abundant life so that we're, having received the Holy Spirit, we're living and moving and existing in God's grace. We're having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We live as if we are, because we are, breathing in God's life, his holiness, his justice, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. All of these things are part of what's being celebrated today. And you're probably thinking, he hasn't even started talking about the gospel passage yet. This is going to be a long one. I know what it's like. I was sitting where Billy was for the last Mass, so I understand. I sympathize with you, but we're going to get through this. Because this is really, there's a lot here. And this gospel passage is, it's great. We're in the 20th chapter of John's gospel, and we have Jesus coming and being in the midst of the disciples after the resurrection. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death. And this is where we see with the sending of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus breathing his own spirit into the apostles, we're seeing the commissioning of the church, that those who are there, the mission that he gives to his apostles is the same mission that he gives to us. And we see him breathing life into the church, breathing life into the disciples, breathing life into us. And we have so throughout John's gospel, there are so many allusions back to Genesis. The very first words of John's gospel are "in the beginning," which if you had to guess, what would you think the first words of Genesis are? "In the beginning." John is looking back to the good work that God has done in creation throughout the entire time of him telling the story of Jesus. And that those allusions don't cease all the way up until the very last page of the gospel, because even at the beginning of this gospel passage, he says, "On the evening of the first day of the week, God has enacted his new creation already in Christ Jesus. He's raised him from the dead. Sin and death have been defeated through Jesus, and the disciples who are called by name by him are called to share in that victory. They're called to live into the victory over sin and death." And that first day of the week, we see Jesus appearing in the midst, giving his peace to the disciples, and then saying, he breathes on them and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is how God creates the first man. He breathes into the nostrils of Adam, breathing his own life, his own spirit into Adam. And when we had gone astray, when we had gone off course through rebellion, through trying to throw off God's rule of holiness and justice, his rule that is founded on love, God didn't abandon us, but instead he breathes new life into us so that we don't lose our place in creation. We don't lose the vocation that we're called to be the image bearers of God everywhere that we go. But instead, we're restored to that, and not simply restored, but we're called even higher. Because in point of fact, the Christian vocation isn't something like, okay, I'm going to believe the right things and I'm going to follow this guy and he's going to take care of everything. We are going to follow Jesus. That is what our vocation is, following after Jesus. But Jesus, we celebrate Pentecost 10 days, well, 10, 7 days, whatever the bishops decide. We celebrate Pentecost 10 days after the ascension. Jesus has returned to the right hand of his Father. He has returned to the heavenly realm where God's will is done perfectly and freely. But we pray in the Our Father, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus doesn't want to abandon his creation, and him returning to the Father is not abandoning us. He provides for us by sending his own Spirit into us, so that he's not far distant from us, but he's more present to us now than he was to his disciples as he walked the earth. And this is the great gift that we have as Christians. But it also means that everything that Jesus did in his life and in his ministry, everything that he did to extend God's reign of holiness and justice by bringing healing and restoration and reconciliation to those around him, that is what we're called to do. We are called to not simply be Christ-like. Each and every one of us represents the living God. You are God's representative here on earth. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Sam knows it. Does everybody believe that? Because this is what we're called to do. If you don't realize that, that is the dignity, the glory that you have as being Christian. You are God's representative on earth. Not only are you God's representative, you are called to be Jesus for those around you. You look at your life and you're like, well, my life's a mess. Maybe I'm just projecting here, but I feel like we would look at our lives and realize we're overwhelmed by the problems that that fill our lives, the challenges that come toward us. Yes. If you think you can't do this on your own, that's right. You can't. And that's why it's good that we are, as Christians, as those who are called by name by Christ Jesus, to rely on God's own Spirit. We are called to rely on God and his help and his power and his strength operative in our hearts, because it's easy enough to be kind and loving and express God's just and saving rule to the people that we like, but it's much harder to love the people we don't like. And how are we going to actually pour ourselves out in love for those people if we haven't had the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts, given to us by Christ Jesus, the gift of the Father? We need to be founded in the love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is what St. Paul says. This is what the Christian life is. Being founded in that love, looking toward Christ Jesus, looking toward everything that he did, having our eyes fixed on him, following after him, knowing him personally, knowing him to be a real person, the person that has called each and every one of us by name and has called us to share in his own vocation. Knowing this, experiencing this, building it up in prayer, we're able to go out and we're able to even forgive sins. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. Okay, I sit in the box at least every week, but that's not just what it's talking about. Jesus' mission was to reconcile the world to his Father, and we share in that mission. We share in his own life so that we can share in his mission and that we can be the people who bring forgiveness, that bring reconciliation wherever we're present. But that is the mission. That is what we're called to, and this is what we pray. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we are not agents of forgiveness, if we're not able to be the people that are giving of ourselves in generous love, if we're not reflecting God's own life, we need to return to the source. Return to the source, who is God. God himself. Look to Jesus, realize that his Spirit is dwelling within us. That is the source of all our power. That is the source of all our energy in order to be about his mission. We need to be founded in that love. And this is why it wasn't just a throwaway line at the beginning of the homily, but this is why we have to pray acts, adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication every day. Because this is the entirety of Christian prayer. This is what's going on in the Our Father. This is what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to have our eyes fixed on God. If we're trying to pray for the rest of the world without looking at God, we're going to be remaking the world in our own image. And if we look at our own lives and realize that things are not in right order, we don't really want to extend the disorder of our own lives to everybody else. We want God's order. We want God's just and saving rule to take hold in our hearts by looking at who he is, the living God, who poured himself out in love, who washes feet in order to extend his kingdom. Look at him and realize, looking back, yeah, my life is disordered because I'm not loving people the way that I should. I'm not pouring myself out in love. But then we can look at our lives and realize that everything, we're where we are because God is allowing us to be there. Because God looks at the world and says, I need somebody who is my representative in these situations. And so even if you're going through something that's difficult, that's challenging, imagine what it would be like if God's representative was not there. And so we're able to look out even at the, not simply the blessings, but even the things that challenge us. We're able to look in thanksgiving at those and then realize, with our eyes again fixed on God, then we start to see what his plan is. Then we start to see what his plan is and we say, God, I want your kingdom done on earth as it is in heaven. We can't do this without being people of prayer and love. We simply can't. We can try. It's going to go badly. But this is what we have to do. And how do we sustain this life of the Holy Trinity dwelling within us? Well, this is why it's a wonderful thing that we celebrate on Pentecost of all days, Vienna's First Holy Communion. Because it's as she comes to receive her First Holy Communion, what this is saying that Vienna, young as she is able to offer her entire heart to God. That's what we do when we come here to celebrate Mass. It's not just this thing that we do on Sunday. We come to offer our entire hearts and our lives to God. And the fruit of that is receiving Jesus' own body and blood. And Vienna now gets to take part in this. She gets to take part in this offering in love to God so that she can be enlivened by the body and blood of Jesus, filled with his own Spirit, and be the person that he's calling her to be. And this is a reminder to all of us, too, as we see her make her first communion, that every time we receive communion, we are being called back into, we are being renewed for the mission of being God's reconciling agents in the world. And so that through our lives, growing closer in communion with Christ Jesus, with the Holy Trinity, we're transformed more and more to have hearts like unto Christ, and we're able to represent the living God and give glory to him in every situation, in every moment, giving thanks to him for our part in bringing his salvation to the world.